This is WCRB in concert with the Boston Children's Chorus. The sound of kids singing together can put a smile on anyone's face. Earnest young voices bringing hope to even the darkest moments of our lives. Every year in January, in the darkest part of the winter, for Martin Luther King Day, the Boston Children's Chorus shines its light in a concert celebrating the life of Dr. King, his struggle for civil rights, and the struggle for peace and justice in our own time. And 2018 was a big year for this event. 5 decades had passed since Dr. King was struck down by an assassin's bullet, so it was even more important to shine a light of hope in the darkness of that memory. Now that light shines into 2019 through this uplifting concert at Symphony Hall in Boston. It's the Boston Children's Chorus in concert on WCRB. Hi, I'm Brian McCreath. Just over 15 years ago, the Boston Children's Chorus was launched with a sort of dual mission. One is artistic. As a chorus, they sing music. But another part of that mission is social change. Along the way, in 2006, Anthony Treacek King joined the chorus as artistic director, and I am very fortunate right now to have Anthony Treacek King right here with me at WCRB. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, we're taking a look at the 2018 Boston Children's Chorus Martin Luther King Day concert, but there was a more significant anniversary last year, and that's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. So I'm glad you're here to talk about it with me and sort of take us through this concert as we look forward to tomorrow night's concert with the Boston Children's Chorus, again, at Symphony Hall. But tell me about your decision to come to the chorus, even though it was several years ago, 2006.
Right. You know, for me, coming into this, it was about the art and the artistic side of things.
Yeah.
But me being me, knowing that I had opportunities to get involved in music, I wanted to provide those other opportunities for other students who don't have the opportunity. Many of our singers, they come to us and they don't have the opportunity to participate in a robust music education program, whether it's financial or just opportunities. So that's kind of our role. But the other byproduct of it, which is actually really the mission of the organization, is to create a better world. And one, what better way to do that than through music, allowing the music to be that catalyst to create the conversations so that they can talk about things that matter to them and talk about things that are troubling them. And for many of our singers, they don't have that opportunity. So I don't know if it was the reason for me to move here, but it certainly was of interest. But now I'm obviously fully bought in. I believe in what it is that we're doing, and I've seen the change happen with all of our students. It's really quite remarkable. One of the things that I kind of stand by is that we too often judge people on our own experiences rather than living a little bit in their shoes and then judging them on their experiences. It's a hard thing to do. But you can't do that if you can't listen. And one of the tenets of singing in a choir, the number one rule is to listen.
Now, the thing is that the concert that we have from 2018 involved one of the most divisive things that's ever happened in this country, and that was the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. So it must have been incredibly hard simply to wrestle with how you wanted to acknowledge this in a concert with an organization that's really meant to be about understanding, about coming together. So how did you approach this idea of a program that would honor Martin Luther King Day on this particular anniversary?
But the Boston Children's Chorus and I, we've never been afraid of unearthing something that might be divisive, because I think we run away from it too much in this country. There's several like big topics that we've not really dealt with. And so it's almost like, how can we not bring it up? It's really important for us to bring it up and to say, here it is, let's examine this, and then let's move forward from it. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I want to do is open the show with the news broadcast, because for our singers, it's, you know, that was 50 years ago, they weren't alive. You know, and for them to hear that and to really kind of go, oh, that's the moment that the country found out. I think that's a really powerful way to kind of open up the program, and then to sing Precious Lord, you know, one of his favorite hymns, to kind of make that connection. To sing the Sleep Tonight, the U2 piece, I think that also kind of makes a connection because it's very, very visceral. And that's what we wanted to do, is draw the audience into this visceral moment and then go from there.
And Precious Lord, a song that Mahalia Jackson sang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so his favorite singer, yeah.
Tell me about her singing and what it is that she brought to that song.
We use her as an example, obviously, as a musician who used her craft to support a cause, right? So she's always been an example of ours. We've taken her music and her style and we've arranged it for ourselves in previous concerts. So we constantly go back to her as one of the sirens of the civil rights and wanting to follow her example. So I think she's an incredibly powerful musician, and the soul and the connectedness in which she approaches her singing is so real that you are moved by it. You feel it instantly. And that's inspirational. That's what we try to get our singers to do, is, don't just sing a song, have it move you and don't break connection. Because when you don't break connection, then the audience is instantly connected to it.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately.
Thunder cloud passes rain.
That's a song made famous by U2. It's called MLK, and it was sung here by the Boston Children's Chorus and soloist Kamari Barnes. I'm Brian McCreath. Tonight on WCRB in Concert, it's the 15th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Tribute Concert from 2018 by the Boston Children's Chorus and its director, Anthony Treisset King. He's with me now. Anthony, tell me about how you weave in some spoken word by chorus members and what that means in this program.
Yeah, I mean, the spoken word is to help carry the drama of the concert. So the idea is to weave in connective tissue between the different pieces. And for us, having the voices of the students is paramount. We want the focus to be on them and their wishes and what they want the world to be. And so to hear them, they actually help with some of the script writing as well. So these are often their words in which we're just kind of editing to have it fit into the program.
In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. His key involvement in the civil rights movement was centered upon peace, nonviolence, and equality.
On April 3, 1968, Dr. King gave his last public address at the Mason Theater in Memphis, Tennessee. Prophetically, Dr. King said,
"I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land."
He was assassinated one day later.
Once upon this planet Earth lived a man of humble birth, preaching love and freedom for his fellow man. Yeah.
does he see the mountaintop? And I knew he'd never stop. Always living with the threat of death ahead.
Falls to matter, stop and think.
'Cause we're headed for the brink. And did Martin Luther King just die in vain?
Traditional spiritual Wade in the Water, the Boston Children's Chorus in concert at Symphony Hall, directed by Anthony Treset King in the 2018 Martin Luther King Day Tribute Concert. And Anthony, wow, there's just so much emotion wrapped up in Wade in the Water. It's hard to break away from that, but I want to ask you about the concert that's going to happen tomorrow night, again at Symphony Hall, the 2019 Martin Luther King Day concert. And tell me about how this program is coming together. This isn't going to be the focus on the assassination like the concert we're hearing is. So how is this program going to unfold for us?
Well, absolutely. So the title of this program is She Persisted.
And one of the things that we're looking at exploring over the next 2 years is the role of women in society and the role of women and their contribution to society. And so we wanted to focus in on how women have created change. We're also challenging ourselves that we want to make sure that women are heavily represented in the composers and arrangers. So 70% of the program is by women composers.
Oh my gosh!
Which, and there's some, you know, like Florence Price, for example, and you know, so we're able to unearth some pieces that we probably wouldn't have unearthed if it wasn't for you know, this opportunity to do this. And it was challenging, but I think a really great challenge. The other cool thing is that I'm not conducting this concert.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's about putting your money where your mouth is. Like, if we really believe in this, then let's represent women in so many different ways. And there are great women conductors out there.
And so who is conducting?
That's a great question. It's Linnell Joy Jenkins from the Princeton Girl Choir. She's coming in, you know, been working with the students over the past couple of weeks. And we're excited to have her. She's an amazing musician. And, you know, I know it'll be a good show.
We're talking about tomorrow night, again, at Symphony Hall on Martin Luther King Day. It's a 7 o'clock concert.
7 p.m. concert. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the 2018 concert and another piece that really connects with a particularly powerful figure as a woman, and that's Billie Holiday and a song that she made very famous. Here's a little bit more about Strange Fruit.
While the Civil War had officially abolished slavery, it did not end discrimination against African Americans who continued to endure the devastating effects of racism, especially in the South. Jim Crow laws enforced racial segregation and prevented African Americans from having political, social, and economic power. Even with these laws, people still felt that black people needed to be controlled, so they began lynching people, innocent people, to what would in their minds restore order.
Our next song, Strange Fruit, was first written as a poem in protest of the lynchings occurring in the late 1930s. Abel Mirapool, a Jewish English teacher, was haunted by photographs he saw of the brutal murders of African Americans in the South. In 1999, Time magazine named Strange Fruit the song of the century.
Then, in 1955, in Money, Mississippi, 14-year-old Emmett Till was brutally murdered for saying goodbye to a white woman after purchasing bubblegum and candy.
The Death of Emmett Till was originally written by African-American music teacher and NAACP member A.C. Bilbro.
While we've come a long way from lynchings, we are far from justice. 57 years after Emmett Till's death, the injustices that sparked the civil rights movement mirror the injustices that we are facing today.
Just in 2012, in Stamford, Florida, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was killed in his own neighborhood just for having Skittles and iced tea. We are far from resolving these issues.
But we can create change. We can contribute to ending the relentless cycle of injustice.
Folks, listen to this story. It's one the world should know about a Negro boy of 14 named Emmett Till. Tallahatchie to Mississippi to see his Uncle Mose, but we won't see little Emmett anymore.
Emmett Till, Emmett Till, his name will be a legend we all know. Tallahatchie, Mississippi, to see his Uncle Mose, but we won't see little Emmett anymore.
A few days in Tallahatchie, Emmett with his little pals, to Money, Mississippi grocery store to buy. They bought bubblegum and candy from the woman at the store. As they turned to leave, little Emmett said goodbye. His little pal said to him, "What you mean saying goodbye to that woman in a Money grocery store?" They said, "She is good looking." Emmett said, "You're right." And that remark cost little Emmett his life.
Emmett Till, Emmett Till, his name will be a legend we all know. Tallahatchie, Mississippi, to see his Uncle Mose, but we won't see little Emmett anymore.
Was on the following Sunday, they say about 2 a.m., two bad men came and knocked on Mose's door. They said to Uncle Mose, "We've come to take the boy." He whistled at that woman and he must go. He was taken to a stable, beaten, shot right through the head. All one could hear the blows and Emmett's cries. Last words were, "Mama, save me, have mercy on me, Lord." The blow still fell, but little Emmett had died.
The two men went to trial, sat and grinned and smoked and chewed, as the fearful witnesses all did testify. Jury's out, 65 minutes, returned verdict in hand, not guilty. Was there prompt reply? Emmett Till,
Emmett Till.
A musical remembrance of one of the most traumatic events in our history, the death of Emmett Till, sung there by the Boston Children's Chorus, directed by Anthony Treisset King. Soloist was Marlon Matthews in the 2018 Martin Luther King tribute concert. Anthony, incredibly moving part of this program, a very moving program overall. But then the next thing you went to involved the youngest kids that are in your organization. Tell me about those kids.
Yeah, we wanted to feature our training and intermediate courses. There's eight of them in total. So that's almost over 200 singers between the ages of 7 and 12. And for the first time ever, it being our 15th anniversary, we wanted to get them all on stage singing something that's quite meaningful and quite powerful. And that's why we chose the song from South Pacific, "You Have to Be Carefully Taught to Hate."
Tell me about working with kids that young in this kind of topic area. I mean, this is difficult stuff.
You know, when you first introduce it, sure, they might be confused of what's going on, but after they kind of live with it for a little bit, then they figure it out. They figure out what the song is about and what it actually means. And the other thing that I think is really important is that we give space in a rehearsal to have the discussion. It's not us telling them, this is what the song is, this is what you need to be thinking. We keep it open-ended and just kind of go, well, what is this song about? What do you think it means? Let's discuss that. So allowing the space in the rehearsal for that to happen is where the magic actually is. And it makes them a better performer.
Did they surprise you with what they brought to the table around this song?
Of course, yeah, they always do. And I think we're going to hear their kind of words, so I don't necessarily want to spoil it, but they absolutely did. They surprised us all.
Our next song, "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught," is from the musical South Pacific, composed by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein.
When the musical first came out, it pushed boundaries as it explored the fears of interracial relationships in families and the consequences that they were found out.
In rehearsal, when we first got this song, we misunderstood the meaning of this song.
At first, we thought the song was racist and rude, and exactly what BCC works against. This is because it repeatedly seems to say that you have to be taught to dislike certain people. We didn't understand why we're supposed to sing it in a concert dedicated to a leader of peace.
After discussion of the song, its history, and the meaning behind its words, we realized that the song is actually talking about respecting other people's cultures.
Like the characters in South Pacific, the families that choose BCC come from many cultural backgrounds and identities. In fact, more than 10% of our families identify as multiracial. Here at BCC, we embrace everyone, no matter how you identify.
The result is what you see on stage tonight, a true representation of America and of Boston working together to create this wonderful music.
As the training and intermediate choir sing this song, we hope you hear our words.
Shocked and saddened by the brutal slaying tonight of Dr. Martin Luther King, I ask every citizen to reject the blind violence that has struck Dr. King, who lived by nonviolence.
Yeah.
My God is a Rock, a traditional spiritual sung in the 15th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tribute concert by the Boston Children's Chorus, directed by Anthony Treacek King. But Anthony, if we say Boston Children's Chorus, that doesn't even really encompass everything that was going on in that song. This was four combined choirs.
It was, yeah. It's four combined choirs. We had our alumni chorus, 60 strong for the first time ever, joining the premier choir, the Young Men's Ensemble, and concert choir. So it's a multi-generational group of kids up there. I shouldn't say kids. I mean, it's like 150 young adults. And to see that on stage right there, kind of the realization of the dream of the organization and the kids that are well on their journey through the organization. Yeah, I think it moved us all.
Well, Powerful takes on a sort of different turn in the next part of this program, O Canada. And it's a piece that comes out of that tragedy that we all saw through the news of a young boy who had washed up in the sort of refugee tragedy of the Middle East. Tell me more about this particular piece and how it came to be part of the program.
Right. Well, Missy Higgins, who's the composer of this, she's a singer-songwriter in Australia, was cleaning her house, actually, and it popped up on her news on the television. And so she saw it and paused and said, you know what, I've got to bring attention to this because this is obviously tragic. And, you know, I was traveling to Australia and I came across the piece and said, this is perfect. It fits perfectly into the messages that we'd like to convey. You know, many of our singers are actually immigrants. We have many first generational singers that are part of our organization. And that journey is often hard. And so us as an organization, we wanted to take this opportunity to kind of highlight the plight that many of our singers have gone through. And fortunately have made it, but you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, and that's certainly tragic. So for us, taking on these difficult topics is what we believe that we should be doing.
My name is Chloe Duval, and I'm Dominican and Haitian.
My name is Emmanuel Charlemagne, and I am Haitian.
Hi, my name is Amichi Ebunike, and I'm Nigerian. We would like to read to you all the following words found on the Statue of Liberty.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breed free.
The wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, homeless, tempest-tossed, to me.
I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
The next song we are about to sing is titled Mais aller, mais venir.
It is a Creole song composed by Sidney Guillaume that stresses the importance of diplomacy and brotherhood.
We hope that in singing this song, you all in the audience may understand the beauty and richness behind the Haitian culture. Thank you.
Oh,
It's the song that's probably most associated with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement We Shall Overcome. And before that, it was Pride, In the Name of Love by U2, sung in concert by the Boston Children's Chorus in the 2018 Martin Luther King Day tribute concert. Anthony Treset King directed it. And Anthony Treset King, thanks so much for being here with me. I'm kind of feeling like, as a parent myself, any parents who are listening, they want to know how their kids might be involved in this. When does BCC do auditions? How do people join?
That's a great question. We have auditions in the fall and in the spring. So as they're coming up, April and May, what I would do is go to our website, bostonchildrenschorus.org, and just click on the tab for auditions and get signed up. You can sign up now.
And the 2019 concert comes up tomorrow night, again, at Symphony Hall. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's going to be another, I think, great concert. Wide range of music, everything from classical. We'll have some spirituals on there, some gospel music, even some Sweet Honey the Rock. We have stuff from South Africa. It's a wide range of music and wide range of different genres. So it should be a lot of fun, I think.
And Linnell Joy Jenkins is conducting it. Anthony, thanks so much for joining me for this. It's a terrific concert, and we're looking forward to tomorrow night.
Well, thank you very much.
And thanks also to the staff and musicians of the Boston Children's Chorus for their help in making this program possible. The recording engineer is Nick Squire, and our audio producer is Antonio Oliart-Rose. The producer of this program is Alan McClellan. I'm Brian McCreath. Thank you for joining us for WCRB in Concert from WCRB, a part of WGBH, Boston.